You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
It has not been a happy new year for the promoters of SR Steel. On the 4th of February, the NCLAT, that is the National Company Law Appellate Tribunal, directed the Ahmedabad bench of the NCLT, that is the National Company Law Tribunal, to decide on the insolvency plea filed against SR Steel by February 11th. A two-member NCLAT bench headed by Justice S.J. Mukhopadhyay said the appellate tribunal would hear the matter on the 12th of February, but only after it had been heard at NCLT Ahmedabad. The appellate tribunal asked that operational creditors choose a sole representative as the bench will not be able to hear all of them individually. It issued such a directive as it was hearing a petition filed by the Committee of Creditors, that is COC of SR Steel, through State Bank of India against resolution professional Satish Kumar Gupta and others. A week ago, the Ahmedabad Bankruptcy Court had snubbed a bid by SR Steel Asia Holdings Limited to regain control over debt-ridden SR Steel. That snub came as a major setback to the Ruya family, who are the promoters of the company. The Ruyas have sought the withdrawal of the petition under Section 12A of the IBC, or the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code, that allows such a move subject to the approval of 90% of the creditors as well as the NCLT. Their offer came on a day that saw more than 92% of creditors to SR Steel vote in favour of handing over the company to ArcelorMittal Netherlands BV. Yes, that ArcelorMittal. And this saga constitutes our edition of Digging Deeper with Money Control today with me, Rakesh Sharma.
The Deep Dive podcast series,
The SR Steel Saga.
First, a recap of the saga, because that's how all television dramas unfold. What happened in the past? Ruya family promoted SR Steel ran into debt troubles some years ago, and following directions from the Reserve Bank of India, was among the first 12 large cases admitted to insolvency proceedings in 2017. However, the insolvency resolution process has been beset by litigation. The Ruyas attempted a backdoor entry into the resolution process via equity interest in New Metal, which is a consortium led by Russian financier VTB. For the record, the IBC, that is the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code, disallows a promoter of a corporate defaulter from participating in the insolvency process. Among the bidders eyeing SR Steel were the world's largest steel company, ArcelorMittal, Anil Agarwal's Vedanta Group, and Sajjan Jindal-led JSW Steel Limited. The race eventually narrowed down to New Metal and ArcelorMittal, but a Supreme Court order placed stipulations on each for their bids to be considered valid. ArcelorMittal paid 7,469 crore rupees dues pending towards another non-performing asset, that is Uttam Galva Steels, for its bid to earn eligibility. New Metal failed to cure its ineligibility and repay Ruya-related debt. Last week, Money Control had reported that the Ruyas had presented a 54,389 crore rupee proposal to withdraw SR Steel from insolvency courts. The withdrawal is allowed under Section 12A of the IBC. Their offer was higher than the 42,000 crore rupee bid from ArcelorMittal, which, as per the report, had the backing of lenders. ArcelorMittal's resolution plan includes the upfront payment of 42,000 crore rupees to lenders and an additional 8,000 crore rupees towards capital expenditure. Now, LiveMint reported that Standard Chartered Bank had also approached the bankruptcy court, challenging the resolution plan approved by the majority of the financial lenders. Standard Chartered, which has more than 7.5% weight in the voting process, voted against ArcelorMittal's resolution plan. A Bloomberg Quint report stated that according to Mohit Saraf, senior partner LNL Partners, the order by the Supreme Court upholding the validity of the IBC and all its segments under the Constitution was enough to stop any discussion around promoters' rights in the matter. LNL Partners advised ArcelorMittal during the bidding process for SR Steel. The tribunal then stated that withdrawal of the insolvency case can only be done by the applicant who had initiated the process. In this case, State Bank of India, which was the lead lender. In a body blow to the Ruya's hopes of retaining the crown that is jewel SR Steel, the NCLT rejected the promoter's plea to repay the debt of the company. There were rumors that the Ruya's would move the NCLAT against that order, which they did this week, of course. More about that in just a little bit. An SR spokesperson read out a statement which said, and I quote, "We continue to believe that our offer of 54,389 crore crore rupees is the most compelling proposal available to SR Steel creditors. It seeks to repay all classes of creditors and fulfills the IBC's overriding objective of value maximization that has been established time and again by courts at all levels. The spokesperson also went on to say, "We submitted the proposal under the recently introduced Section 12A of the IBC, and the recent judgment of the Supreme Court has established that the section's provisions are applicable retrospectively. We are awaiting a copy of the full NCLT order and will take a call on the next steps after we have thoroughly gone through the contents," unquote. Babu Shivaprakasham, partner Economic Laws Practice, explained to Money Control, and I quote, "A borrower can argue that if they're ready to repay the entire debt, including all dues to all the creditors, then it's no more an IBC resolution, not even a settlement, but repayment of all the dues by a borrower. It will not be an easy proposition for any party to take a stand that a borrower or guarantor shall be barred from not paying their dues in entirety, and once all dues, including CIRP costs, are fully paid, the IBC petitions become infructuous, as no resolution is warranted," unquote. Worryingly for the Ruyas, though, a statement by the chairman of State Bank of India, Rajneesh Kumar, SBI being the lead lender to SR Steel, alluded to the recent Supreme Court judgment that upheld the validity of the IBC and clarified the provision for withdrawal of insolvency proceedings. Kumar went on to say, and I quote, "The Supreme Court order last week on IBC was a speaking order. This has put to rest all debate around promoters finding a way to get back into the company. We will be waiting for the adjudicating authority to decide on the resolution plan submitted by the Committee of Creditors. As far as the sale of SR Steel loan is concerned, we have already deferred it to the 11th of February. Hopefully, a decision in this matter is reached before that. We will wait and see," unquote. Now let's take a step back and take a look at the bigger picture. To see it from a larger perspective, we must zoom out, as it were, to get the bigger picture. The central government set a March 2019 deadline for lenders and resolution professionals to speed up resolution plans of 9 of the 12 high-value insolvency cases. This is being emphasized in order to complete the resolution of large stressed accounts, and there does seem to be special focus on SR Steel and JP Infratech, according to a report by Business Today. The 12 accounts, which include Bhushan Power, Alok Industries, ABG Shipyards, Amtech Auto, Lanco, Era Infrastructure and Jyoti Structures, owe nearly 2.5 lakh crore rupees to various lenders. After 18 months, insolvency proceedings against them are yet to be completed. A Times of India report said that exceeds the 270-day deadline specified in the law. Under the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code, when a case is admitted by the NCLT, a resolution plan must be in place within 180 days or 6 months of admission. This is extendable by up to 90 days or 3 months. In case the turnaround does not happen, the company's assets will be liquidated. These cases have tended to be rather high profile. For example, Tata Steel had acquired Bhushan Steel under the Corporate Insolvency Resolution Process, that is CIRP, in April 2018 for a princely sum of 35,200 crore rupees. Then there was the Anil Agarwal-controlled Vedanta that took over the bankrupt Electrosteel Steels. JSW Steel and its promoters acquired something like 88% in Monnet Ispat and Energy Limited, that is MIEL, after the completion of insolvency resolution proceedings. Another high-profile case that consumed a lot of newsprint was that of JP Infratech. It is a subsidiary of JP Group's flagship firm, Jayaprakash Associates, and is yet to deliver over 20,000 apartments, villas and plots to home buyers. According to Business Today, the centre has directed resolution professionals to initiate steps, including seeking legal remedy to speed up a decision. In the second half of January, various creditors and home buyers of JP Infratech extended the deadline till the 15th of February for shortlisted bidders to submit proposals to revive the debt-ridden realty firm. ArcelorMittal's entry into India's steel sector is a landmark, according to Amit Dixit, an analyst at Edelweiss Research. He told Bloomberg Quint, and I quote, "We consider it a landmark in Indian ferrous space as, number one, the company will be a significant player in the ferrous space, acquiring a running capacity of 6.5 to 7 MTPA, and number two, in the medium term, we see imminent consolidation in domestic steel sector with three strong players operating capacity of 20 MTPA plus each, and number three, ArcelorMittal's strong product line and cutting-edge technology will spur similar development in India by the incumbents, which is a welcome relief from the race for capacity aggrandizement," unquote. Now, what has been the home team's counterpunch? But Essar's promoters haven't thrown in the towel just yet. Yesterday, Essar Group Director Prashant Ruya has moved a fresh application before the NCLT Ahmedabad bench, seeking the quashing of ArcelorMittal's takeover bid of the insolvent steelmaker. Business Standard reported that the petition moved on the 1st of February includes Essar Steel's former MD Dilip Oman and Project Director Rajiv Kumar Bhatnagar as joint petitioners. Media reports claim the Ruya family is making an attempt to delay Essar Steel's insolvency. The petition calls for a stay on, quote, any further proceedings in interlocutory application number 431 of 2018 preferred by the resolution professional under section 3(6) of the code, unquote. Taking a cue from the recent Supreme Court judgment in the case of Ruchi Soya, the petitioners who have sought the suspended board of directors be included in all COC, that is the Committee of Creditors meetings, now onwards. The Economic Times reported that the petition claims through Oman and Bhatnagar were removed after the insolvency process began, although they continue to be part of the day-to-day management of Essar Steel and hold the designations of Managing Director and Director of Projects, respectively. The SC order cited in the application says resolution plans submitted by applicants should also be shared with the suspended board of directors. Supreme Court judges Arif Nariman and Naveen Sinha had on the 31st of January said in the hearing on Ruchi Soya, which is the country's largest edible oil maker that is now also in the insolvency courts, that the appellant, that is the director, will be given copies of all resolution plans submitted to the COC within a period of 2 weeks from the date of this judgment. The resolution applicant in each of these cases will then convene a meeting of the COC within 2 weeks thereafter, which will include the appellants as participants, unquote. However, according to a Bloomberg Quint report, the Essar Steel directors claimed that they were asked to step out of multiple COC meetings as the matters being discussed were deemed to be confidential. This was against the insolvency code, the application said, adding that a letter to the resolution professionals in October 2017 didn't change the conduct of the Committee of Creditors, unquote. Based on those words, the directors of Essar Steel sought to quash and set aside the lender's decision to accept ArcelorMittal's lower bid to take over Essar Steel, claiming the process prescribed by the Supreme Court on the 31st of January was not followed in this instance. The petition also requests the NCLT Ahmedabad bench to direct Essar Steel's resolution professional Satish Kumar Gupta to convene a meeting of the Committee of Creditors wherein the resolution plans submitted by the potential resolution applicants be deliberated and discussed afresh and thereafter voted upon.
The Deep Dive podcast series,
The Essar Steel Saga.
The Essar Steel insolvency case has seen extraordinary delays due to endless litigation. The company was admitted for insolvency action way back in August 2017. Over 500 days have passed, nearly double the stipulated time of 270 days. The creditors of Essar Steel have said in various courts that they've been losing 500 crore rupees per month in interest earnings due to the delays in the insolvency process. As the high-profile Essar Steel case seems to go on interminably, all eyes will be on the Ahmedabad bench of the National Company Law Tribunal on the 11th of February.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.